So we're doing a little bit of a shift now and getting back into the book of Acts. And in the next 25 minutes, it's my plan and my hope to cover two chapters. And we'll see how that works out. Lord, we just come to you right now knowing that these trials that Paul went through as he stood before great power as a little man in chains, he spoke truth. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to speak truth to power. Chapter 24 of Acts, the last verse 27, we're on page 1707 in the Pew Bibles. Acts 24:27. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Paul had been in prison for 2 full years without any real charges. I think that Felix pretty much knew Paul was innocent, and yet he kept calling him back to speak again and again, so that he was kind of hoping to get a bribe. He knew that Paul had brought a lot of money with him to give to the Jewish people, the Jewish Christians especially, in Jerusalem. And so he let Paul be basically under house arrest with a lot of freedom to have visitors come and go. And during that time, he's kind of hoping, you know, maybe they'll get the picture that, you know, I'm just going to hold him until I get some money out of this. He was hoping for a bribe, and that never came. I think Paul was more interested in truth than he was in freedom. So 2 years later, that's a long time to be...
Truth is free.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Freedom. Yeah, when Jesus tells us about, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yeah. That's right after he's saying, you know, you want to be a disciple? Give everything away. Then you'll be free. So 2 years later, he's still in this prison, and now he's got a new person to deal with. Festus shows up. And Festus, as a new governor in this region, is going to also want to try to tread lightly, because if he offends the Jews, they're going to go to Rome and they're going to say, he did this, he did that, and then they're going to try to have him kicked out, because they were successful in getting rid of Felix. There's just a whole lot of political garbage going on, okay? So as we look at this, chapter 25, 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him. What's the first thing on their mind? Presented the charges against Paul. 2 years later, they haven't relaxed at all. They still want this man dead. I wonder what happened to those 40-plus individuals that had made a vow that they wouldn't eat or drink until he was dead. I'm sure they didn't last 2 years. They either found a way to change that agreement or they're dead.
Paul's nephew.
They couldn't run.
So they requested Festus as a favor to them. It's like, okay, you know what position you're in now? If you offend us, we're probably going to get you thrown out of office. So would you like to do us a favor? You ever feel political pressure in your job or anywhere else? Maybe in your family? They requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. They couldn't get him on the way out of town, and maybe they can get him to come back. Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if the man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there. He's trying to come up with a balance. It's like, okay, I want to show that I'm in control, but I don't want to offend you. So yeah, you'd like to try this guy? Come along with me, bring your charges. We'll hold court in Caesarea. After spending 8 or 10 days with them, Festus went down to Caesarea. The next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. When Paul came in, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. They brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove them because they didn't bring any witnesses and none of it was true. So it's kind of hard to really Well, some of what they said was true, but it was a religious disagreement. Verse 8, then Paul made his defense. I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar. Whatever these charges are, I didn't do any of it. Okay? And they don't have any proof, so this trial should really be over. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, we just read that about Felix, right? Said to Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges? He's like, yeah, I'll still be the one that will try you, but let's go to Jerusalem and I'll try you there. I think Paul knows what's going on, and I'm pretty sure at this point Festus knew too. Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them, including you. I appeal to Caesar. Of course, as a Roman citizen, he had that right to go to the appeals court. After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, you have appealed to Caesar you will go. He could have at that point said, you know, you're right, there's nothing that's been done wrong. There's no crime, there's no charges that can stick, you're dismissed. Could have dismissed the whole thing there. But it's going to go on to the next level. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. I don't want to go much further before I tell you a little background on Bernice and King Agrippa. Remember we were talking about Drusilla and what a crazy wicked woman she was? This is her brother and sister, and they're living as a couple. Okay? This is an incestuous relationship between a brother and a sister. They're also brother and sister of Drusilla. They share the same genealogy that she has. Their dad, Agrippa I, had been eaten by worms and died because he wanted to allow people to say that he was a god, and God just judged him for that. That was after he'd already had James beheaded, James the brother of Jesus.
James? What do you mean?
No, James. It was his great uncle that had John the Baptist beheaded, and it was grandpa that had all the babies killed in Bethlehem. This is a messed up family. And this King Agrippa is the one that Paul is going to get to speak to now. You talk about speaking truth to power. These are very powerful people, and Agrippa II here would have definitely known all the history from his family, and his lives. The life of Jesus and the lives of all of these people in his family are interrelated and webbed together so much that it seems like they're in constant battle. Now, when his dad died, was eaten by worms and died, he was only 17 years old. When Bernice was first married, she was only 13 and she married one of the uncles. So this isn't her first lover. She leaves the uncle, goes to her brother.
Wow.
Leaves the brother, goes to another uncle. There was a pretty messed up family, but like a lot of royal families maybe, I don't know. I kind of think that we're regular families as well.
That's why we had a revolution.
So, since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, there is a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. He's like, I got stuck with this problem. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. They wanted him dead. I told them that it is not the Roman custom to hand over anyone before they face their accusers and have had an opportunity to defend themselves against the charges. He doesn't mention here that he did kind of offer to do that, but he was going to send Paul back to Jerusalem. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. When his accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I had expected. He was probably thinking, okay, that they want to charge him with some sort of insurrection. He's trying to create problems. He's against the Roman throne. But instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus who Paul claimed was alive. I think that Festus kind of got this. He figured out exactly what the central point was. As he's listening to all this argument, this is really where the big difference was. They're saying Jesus was dead, and Paul's saying Jesus is alive. And that's... Okay, now at this point, and you're Agrippa II, and you kind of know your family history, it's not the first time you've heard of this Jesus. In fact, Agrippa II was known as a leading scholar with Jewish things. He really knew Old Testament. In fact, he was a Jewish man that tried to follow the laws and the traditions of the Jewish faith. So Festus is still talking. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters, so I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. That's kind of a spin on why he thought maybe it'd be a good idea to go there. But when Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. By the way, the Caesar that he's getting sent to is Nero, who he eventually gets executed by. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself. I'll bet he would. And Festus replies, tomorrow you will hear him. The next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking military officers and prominent men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man? Kind of an interesting thing. He doesn't even want to call him by his name. You see this man? The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. I love verse 27. For I think it is unreasonable to send a prisoner on to Rome without specifying the charges against him. Is that an understatement?
My Bible says absurd.
Absurd. Yeah, it's unreasonable. It's absurd. It's wrong. Why would you send somebody as a prisoner without any charges? Then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. I wonder how that felt. You're well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. In fact, your great uncle, your dad, your grandpa, they were part of a lot of these controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. In other words, I'm going to talk for a long time. I have a lot to say. Don't expect this to be over in a quick bumper sticker minute. I'm not going to try to explain calculus to you or algebra in a two-minute session, right? I mean, there's some things that are going to take more time. This is really, you know, Paul saying, I really, really would love to explain the whole story to you. The rest of the story, the Paul Hardy story, right? The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I'm on trial today. I'm not on trial for anything that's un-Jewish. These Jewish people are angry with me because I'm following Jewish scripture. You know, the Old Testament scripture, the Hebrew scripture, tells us all about a Messiah that's going to come.
Yeah.
And he's going to suffer and he's going to die. And if you read through Isaiah, there's some chapters there that just scream out, Jesus, 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 clear through them. And if you know Jesus and you know the Old Testament, it's real easy to put the two together. It's not like these are two separate stories. There's not an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. It's the same God, clear through. And so here's Paul explaining to King Agrippa that Agrippa, you know about all this stuff. This isn't new to you. And why should it be a concern that I'm talking about a hope that was promised in the law and in the prophets in Old Testament scripture? This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. This is what it's all about. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope. He keeps bringing up that word hope. It is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Now there's an interesting question, right? Why do we consider it incredible that there's a resurrection? If God can take something that's not there, like there's total nothingness, and he says, let there be, and now we've got stuff. He can resurrect the dead.
Yeah.
So, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So now he's going into his personal testimony, some of his background. When we're talking to people in power, it doesn't hurt to tell them about how God has changed us. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. There's a strong indication that he was part of the Sanhedrin. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. He figured out what he was doing. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. It's like, okay, here I am in Jerusalem. I go into to Uncle Joseph's house and I realize that he's been getting correspondence from people in another part of the world, and they're also followers of the way. So I want permission to go and drag them out of their houses and bring them back here, because they're perverting Judaism. And so he's hunting people down. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, when's the sun the brightest? About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Goad would be a sharp stick thing that they would use to direct cattle. If you were in a wagon that was being pulled by oxen, a lot of times they would put these sharp points at the front of the wagon, so if they tried to kick the wagon, they'd just end up hurting themselves a little and hopefully stop. Now some of us are so stubborn, we fight God that way. We keep kicking against the goads. We know it's hurting us. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to try harder then. I'll kick it harder this time. We'll bang our head because it feels so good when it stops. I don't get it. I mean, but every one of us, we find ways to oppose God. So Here's God talking to him and just explaining, you know, you can fight it, but you're going to lose.
Right.
Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. I still love the fact that Jesus identifies so closely with his followers that he says, you're persecuting me when you're going after my people.
Absolutely.
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I'm going to give you continued revelation. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. If you truly repented, your life's going to be different. There's going to be a demonstration of that repentance. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. This is a Jewish thing. This is God fulfilling his word. This is God saying, I'm going to be the fulfillment of those promises.
Amen.
That the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's saying, I met Jesus on this road. He's alive. Jesus has been resurrected. He's talked to me. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. Festus is a good Roman, believes in materialism and logic. You're out of your mind, Paul! He shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. You ever taught middle school? You ever get interrupted with a good shout? Like you're on a roll. You're heading somewhere. You're telling them about Jesus. Paul didn't get to finish sermons very often without some sort of disruption, did he?
Right. Right.
He turns here below, and he still continues to be respectful. He's being shouted down and ridiculed. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. You know, another place, if you look in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the 500 people that saw Jesus after the resurrection. And some of them were still alive at this time. It's like, it's true and it's reasonable. If you want to investigate it, check it out. Find out from some of the people. And he continues, the king, Agrippa here, the king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. You don't have to listen, Festus. I'm answering the king right now. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. He's making an appeal here. King Agrippa, you know what's going on. You know what's happened in your family. This could have been enemy number one of Christ, and yet Paul's heart for him is, you want to meet Jesus? He's alive. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains.
Like King James, where it said, almost
you persuade me, yeah. In such a short time, do you think you can persuade me? The king rose. Of course, when the king rises, what does everybody else do? With him, the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, okay, you ever been in a meeting and after the meeting everybody goes out in the parking lot or the foyer or whatever and they're just chit-chatting about what's just happened. There's all this conversation. This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Even Festus, who thinks he's crazy and out of his mind, it's like, that's not a reason to kill somebody.
Right.
And I think Agrippa kind of knew. And Bernice probably knew. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Of course, if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he probably would have been dead in Jerusalem. So, Lord, we just love the fact that your heart is that we're to love our enemies. And then here's a demonstration of it right here, God, of Paul speaking truth to power. I pray that we can be so clear that if there's huge arguments in our lives, Lord, everyone looks around and says, well, it looks like you believe in a risen Jesus and they don't. And that's where the conflict is. I pray, Lord, that there won't be any other conflict if at all possible. We learn to live peaceably with all men. But on that point, Lord, help us not to ever budge. That you are good, you're gracious, you're merciful, and you're alive. Looking forward to that time that we get to be with you in glory forever and ever. Amen.